it's another side that like wants to take more, it wants to go that one more round, because like going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of One More Round of the Rocky Series podcast. I am Ryan, and with me today is Katie and Kyle. I should mention your little write-ups that you guys do under your names. I don't really bring that up. So, Katie, you have Man, I Feel Born Again. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're covering that today, though. I don't think we're going to get that far.
Okay.
Knowing the way we discuss things.
And that's
things
true. I know. I try to, like, you know, think about what we will be covering, but
I'd recommend the next scene at least.
Yeah. Whatever.
But that's fine. I appreciate your not enthusiasm, but your, what's the word I'm looking for? The fact that you think we're going to get that far. What would you call that? What would
optimism?
You call that word? Optimism. Thank you. I appreciate your optimism. Mm-hmm. Kyle, have you heard that the bird is the, okay. Well, I don't know if that's in Rocky, Kyle.
It's not. I had that song stuck in my head yesterday because I saw it on a clip of something.
Was it the Family Guy clip?
No. Oh. It was a clip from Full Metal Jacket, actually.
Oh. And
that song is played in one of the scenes.
Yep.
And so now it's stuck in my head.
Great movie, and also a great Family Guy scene. It's so stupid. Family Guy has the ability to make something funny, drag it out till it's not funny, but then they drag it out just a little bit more and it becomes funny again. I don't know how to do it, but they're able to do that. Okay. Well, we got let's do some business side things first. So, Katie, why don't you plug your podcast? I want to say your Retro Made podcast is excellent. It's doing very well. What was your last episode? What's next for your podcast?
Oh, let's see. Last episode was Breakdown 1997 with Kurt Russell. Mm-hmm. Upcoming, I have a double crossover with another podcast.
Oh, wow.
So also Kurt Russell movies. But yeah, so my first season I have dedicated to Patrick Swayze and Kurt Russell, who I have dubbed the ultimate everyman. And so covering their movies from the 80s and 90s. And then just to kind of set the mood for the time of the movie, we talk about what was going on in the world of pop culture at that time as well. So a little trip down memory lane.
Which one am I doing with you next? I forget which one I picked.
Tequila Sunrise.
Tequila, that's right, because I haven't seen it. If I have seen it, it was way back in the VHS days, watched it once, never watched it again as an adult.
Honestly, so, same. I don't know if I've seen it either.
I'm looking forward to that. Can't wait to talk about Mel. Yeah, great great stuff. Kyle, what are you working on? What do you want to plug right now?
Oh, shoot. I have nothing in the realm of the... there's this podcast I'm on called One More Round of the Rocky Podcast. It's great. You should listen to it.
Hey, I like Rocky. Maybe I would like that.
I think you might like it. Well,
you know what?
Kyle.
I think even if you don't like Rocky, you will after listening. That's what I think.
Okay.
All right. What do I have extra to plug? Well, I'll plug this. So Katie and I, I'm doing a new podcast. It's a mini series. So it's not like the One More Rounds. It's going to have an end point. So end game. So it's not going to be very long. It's going to be monthly. So it's going to take about a year to release it all because I want to do one episode a month. I want to do the episodes justice as well. I am starting an Edward Zwick filmography podcast, and it's going to be released in chronological order of his filmography release. And Katie will be my premier guest because it fits into her Retro Made podcast. We're going to do About Last Night, Edward Zwick's first film. Came out in 86, I think, or 87, something like that. It was between 85 and 90. I don't know the exact year. So anyways, I love Edward Zwick as a filmmaker, and so I'm curious to go down his filmography. So that will be starting very, very shortly, but I want to plug that future project. So if you like what I cover on the Rocky podcast or the Rambo podcast, I'm going to do the Edward Zwick filmographies. Each episode will be a standalone episode for his filmography in order, one episode, one movie. Okay. I'm looking forward to that, by the way. So without further ado, Katie, do you have some emails for us?
I do. Okay. This one is from Nick, hello, Ryan, Katie, and Kyle. I just wanted to share with the podcast a cool Rocky story. My nephew Luke is a senior on the basketball team, and towards the end of the season, they were struggling and needed to find some motivation. I suggested to the head coach to have them watch Rocky III instead of practicing one night. To my surprise, he loved the idea and even invited me to watch it with the team at the school theater. I couldn't make it because of work. After the team watched Rocky III, the coach had each player talk about the meaning of the movie. It was a great experience for the team because they went on and beat their highly favored rival. Yeah, it's really cool seeing that different generations can learn from and enjoy the Rocky franchise. Please to Ruben, I'm still waiting for my Rocky series podcast t-shirt. Thanks for entertaining me on the road. All the best, Chester Copperpot. Nick.
Fine. So Ruben, of course, the official original co-host of mine. We started the journey of going the distance, the Rocky series podcast. That's why this one's called One More Round, because we're doing it again. So Ruben and I had a dream that we would be one day a successful podcast. We're still trying to see that dream fulfilled, but that we're gonna have t-shirts and grab merch. We kind of kidded around that we'd have merch. So
no, Nick, I think it's a good idea.
Thanks. So Nick, bless his heart, he is one of the original listeners. He's been listening since the Going the Distance days, and he's been a longtime follower on my Twitter and on the show. So he's been listening all these years, and thank you, Nick, for that. Chester Copperpot is his name. I think it's his nickname, but yeah. So Nick's been listening for years, and he's still waiting for the t-shirt. Is that what he's saying? He's still waiting for it.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, did Katie freeze, or did I freeze?
I think she's frozen.
Okay.
Or she's doing a really good job of staying still.
Yeah, she's okay, Katie. If you're under duress, don't blink.
Can you hear me?
Okay, now she's back.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that was like a little weird thing on my everybody was spinning.
Okay, fair enough. No, that's fine. you froze, but it's funny. So we said if you're under duress, don't blink. That means okay. We'd like to welcome those who are watching us live right now. Tim is here. Welcome, Tim. Yeah, so Nick, yeah, t-shirts are coming. I guess they're going to have to be called One More Round now, not going the distance anymore. Okay. Now, Katie, your next email. Are you okay reading this? Because this is directed at you.
Yeah.
Are you okay reading this?
Hey, you got to take the hits.
Okay. So, Kyle, I want Kyle to hear the email. Kyle and I will decide if we need to do what is requested from this listener. Okay.
Jesus Christ. The things that are high.
Here we go.
Well, no, the subject line is cancel Katie. Mm. Yeah. Dear One More Round Complaint Department.
Mm.
I've been listening to this podcast since the beginning, and I've become increasingly uncomfortable with Katie's obsession with Rocky, Apollo, and now Drago. How in this day and age is the objectification of these hot, sweaty men with delicious bulging muscles tolerated on your podcast? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Katie talks about these men like they're pieces of meat, and frankly, it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. Hey, Katie, we're people with feelings, and their eyes are up here. She's perpetuating impossible standards for us regular men who mm-hmm. feel like they have to look like Greek gods and fill out their Speedos much better than us. Good day. Sincerely, Doug Karen Greenberg.
Mm. Thank you, Doug. We appreciate his complaints. By the way, Doug, thank you for writing in. We will take these complaints under advisement. Kyle?
Yeah, I think what we're going to have to do is even the score somehow. Mm. Perhaps.
Well, I already did that in the Rocky III coverage when I showed Adrian in slow-mo in her 90, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
Some cleavage. We saw Adrian cleavage for the first time.
Let's just say we're going to have to put some extra focus on Madame Dupont.
Yeah, she's really French. She's really
there's
French.
Not much to oogle at for you
no,
guys.
No, I mean, there's not. Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about Ludmilla actually coming up here.
Oh, good call.
She's gorgeous. Bridget Nielsen in her prime. And she's still an attractive older woman. She's 60-something mm-hmm. now. So Doug's not happy, and I agree. This might have to stop, Katie. You're offending a lot of our male listeners. The objectification of men will not be tolerated on this show. So we'll just see how we do with future episodes. We'll mm-hmm. keep you in check mm-hmm. there if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Tim does bring up a good suggestion, and this kind of goes towards anyone that complains on any show. He says, I have a suggestion for Doug, maybe not watch, eh? That's true. Doug, you don't have to listen if this offends you either. So, yeah, it's a tough call. Cause Doug's, you know what's funny, though? Doug is a Greek god. He's got an incredible body, you know? So, yeah, like, he is a workout guy, and he actually looks very handsome. He's the most handsome man on our network. So, thank you, Doug. Okay. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get to our Rocky trivia. You guys ready?
Oh, all right.
Okay. Time to catch up to Katie. Here we go. What does Rocky Jr. say Rocky's head looks like?
Is it one of Madame DuPont's breasts?
Yes.
They're roughly the same size.
Yes. I do love how that Rocky Jr. in just one short film will be drawing a naked woman for art.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was three like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. We know it doesn't make sense. How many weeks away is Rocky and Adrian's real anniversary?
How many weeks?
Yeah, Adrian says, come on, Rocky, it's not her anniversary. It's blank weeks away.
I have a number in my head, but I don't know.
I have a number in my head, and I don't know.
Oh, I, for some reason, was thinking days.
I'm gonna talk David Cushion.
Yeah, David, don't answer. That's right, David, don't answer.
We reveal the answer, where we do go over the answers at the end of the show. So please don't help my colleagues here on the podcast. I need to catch up to them. And I know you're going to get the right answers, so don't put the answer, please.
Yeah, that's right. We appreciate so keep score at home, folks, and we'll reveal our answers at the end. But we appreciate that. Don't give any answers in the chat. And welcome. No, that's okay, David. Welcome to the chat, by the way. It's nice seeing new people here. Okay, next question. Who says it would be a good victory? That scene is coming up on today's episode, actually, I think.
I think it's Adrian.
I think Adrian does say that.
She's really.
Well, she does. She kind of says it where she says, "You can't win." So she's right a little bit. Last question.
She says that for Drago. She's like, "It'll be a good victory for Ivan Drago."
Yeah.
What game is Duke playing with the Russian dude in the cabin there in the woods? Or what game?
It's Twister. Just to spoil it.
That'd be funny.
All right, there you go. There's the five questions.
No, that was only four. Did we miss one? That was four.
We had Rocky's face, number of weeks of the anniversary, good victory.
Oh, I did miss one. My apologies. I missed one. What is... No, this one's going to be tricky because we've mentioned this before.
Is this number four or five now?
Okay, this is number five. I apologize. Okay. I missed number eight, like on my list of tenure. Okay. What is Drago's nickname? That's the question.
Well,
now, I know there's two... There's the one that the announcers give, and there's one that they give when he lands in America. Am I wrong about that?
Yes, there's two. Are we going to go with either one's acceptable?
Yes, we have to, because two are given.
How about we say both of them?
Yeah, I'm putting both to hedge my bets. Okay, how about this, though? If you put both, they have to both be right.
Okay, fair enough.
Hedge.
Okay, no, then we have to say you have to give two for full points, and you have to both have to be right for the three of us.
I'm going to say this. You could put down one knowing that either one's acceptable. But if you put down two to hedge your bets and you make one that doesn't exist,
you're
done. That's
too easy because I know one for sure that's very easy.
Well, technically there's three.
Oh, okay. Well, Katie, at this point, if we can.
I'm only putting whatever.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about it when we get there. Okay, so guys, play along at home, and when we get to the end, we'll see who got right or wrong at the end of the episode. Okay, now with today's episode, folks, I did record more of the director's cut again because I think this is really important for Kyle to see this, and for those who haven't seen the director's cut to see the differences. There are some major differences, very subtle ones, between the director's and the original that I think are worth talking about. This might happen throughout the whole series. I'm sorry. There's just too much to not talk about. We're going to play first the original film. Okay, so in the original film, after Polly says, oh, it keeps your fertility, and the Rocky says, yo, Polly, that's when we cut to them in the man cave watching the fight, Apollo and Rocky watching the Rocky II fight. What I also find interesting about the scene, we've talked about this many times, but I'm going to bring it up again, just in case no one's heard our episodes before. I do love how when people watch previous events, i.e. The boxing match, it's the same film footage that we see as an audience. I love how we're supposed to be seeing what they saw at home when they watched this on pay-per-view, but they wouldn't see these angles and these cuts as a viewer at home, but this is a movie. They're actually watching the theatrical cut of Rocky II and not what you'd see at home. Okay.
Rocky's holding that right hand. He's
oh, no, this is a great fight.
Great. I'm getting punches just watching it. Look at this.
Mamma mia, what you using for a chin there, Stallion?
I should have slipped that one.
Yeah, you definitely should have slipped that one. Listen, son, Stallion, it's crazy how people can they just care about you in that ring and they care about you when you're blinking, but once you step out of that ring, Stallion, it's like ancient history.
Oh, come on, ancient history, you know.
I don't see anybody asking for autographs, do you? Huh?
Now, Kyle, you've mentioned this before. This is not real. There's no way people stop. Do you think people stop asking autographs for Mike Tyson, Muhammad
Absolutely
Ali?
Absolutely not. Someone like Apollo Creed, someone who was champion for years and who was extremely popular, he would be getting autographs the rest of his life.
Yes. Yeah. There's no way. Why would you not be thrilled? But in the Rocky universe, the only person that seems to matter is the world heavyweight champion. If you're not that, you are nobody. People are asking
you're
for Clubber. You're a has-been. You're a tomato. People are asking for Clubber's autograph. I guarantee it. He was champion even for a spell. I guarantee people who ran into Clubber Lang probably asked for his autograph.
Yeah, I was going to say someone like Clubber would probably get fewer autograph requests. But you're right. Like, if someone's a boxing enthusiast, they're going to want an autograph from someone who.
If you're the champion of the world, you're the champion of the world. You want, yeah. Like, why would not? Nah, it's just Clubber Lang. No, it'd be, hey, Clubber, cool, man. Sorry, you know, sorry that you lost, but you were champion. Like, you'd want his autograph.
Okay, so, like, for example, there's been some flash in the pan champions. Mm. Like, for example, Buster Douglas, who knocked out Mike Tyson, and the fight was a 42-1 shot. Which was similar to Rocky's odds fighting Apollo. There would be some people who know boxing would ask him for his autograph, but I bet you Buster Douglas wouldn't get recognized in the street too much anymore because it was so long ago. It was 35 years ago. But in this case, like, this is Apollo Creed, so he'll get autographs to the day he dies. And two, he hasn't been out of the championship for that long. So there'd be loads of people who are Apollo Creed fans still.
Agreed. I think it's just showing us, though, that Apollo's intentions for this, he needs the glory.
Yeah, so he doesn't feel the same. But I'm just surprised he used that example. Again, I know Sly wrote the dialogue. I would have written, if I was Sly, I would have written something to the effect, like, it's just not the same when you're not at the top. Because it wouldn't be. It's something different. It's a different world. But the idea that autographs was used as an example, that nobody's asking for autographs, he's ignored. He's some peon in public. There's no way. He's Apollo Creed. He's the Muhammad Ali of the Rocky universe. And there's no way he's not mentioned.
One thing I've heard about boxers in their psychology, a lot of them, and this isn't true for all boxers, is that they're essentially performers at heart. I mean, it's just a lot of the good boxers, they put on a show for people. Some boxers might be just technical fighters that are there to fight, and they don't care about the audience. But a lot of boxers, and I think Apollo would be in this camp, perform for others. And outside of, like, the personal glory of fighting, they like entertaining people. And so I think in his comment about the autograph might be more reflective of, like, he's not there entertaining people anymore. He's not the star. He likes being the star of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, when he came in on that boat in the first fight, it showed that this guy likes to ham it up big time. He likes to be in the public eye. He likes to be relevant. And, like, so I could see why. I could see why he's saying that. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of different factors.
Tim brings up a wonderful point. He says, in Rocky Balboa, Rocky gets stopped at his son's work. People are asking for his autograph then. And that was years after he was champion. People are still asking for autographs from Rocky. Granted, he's in Philly, sure, but still. I mean, people are asking for autographs, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He's like Philly's hero, and yeah, if I saw Carl Weathers on the street, right? Obviously, he's passed away, but like, if say this was a year ago or 2 years ago.
What did I?
Oh. I'd ask him for an autograph or something or talk to him. But the thing is, Carl Weathers hasn't been in that much stuff for the last 20 years. Like, he's been around.
Of course you would, because he was somebody. He was still somebody life.
There'd be a lot of people whose childhood we see watching Apollo Creed fights.
Yeah.
Apollo, can I ask you something? Well, you know, this fight you're having against the Russian, do you think maybe it ain't against him?
If it's not him, Stallion, then who's it against?
But do you think maybe it's like you against you? What do you think?
No, I think you really are getting brain damage. That's what I think, Stallion.
Yeah, maybe, but really, I'm speaking the truth here, pal.
Okay. That whole sequence there, folks, cut out. And the director's cut.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's well, you know, it still does. It's always made me anxious, this scene, because Rocky, and it's also a little weird, like, I don't know, like the tone doesn't seem, Rocky's trying to be serious and Apollo's not having it, like, at all. He knows what he means.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, why
he's dismissive. He's like dismissing him.
Yeah.
But he's like, they were having this light, airy tone minutes ago, and Rocky's getting all serious, and Apollo is basically disregarding it, and he's trying to get back to that tone. But like, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube now. Like, what's said has been said. Right. You gotta deal with it.
And then because we know what happens, I'm like, oh, Apollo, you're not taking this seriously.
So it cuts. So that part's all cut out. And then when Apollo stands up, says, I don't want to hear any of this, that part is in it, the director's cut.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, but that's weird, though. I guess I'd have to see.
No, it's fine. Actually, no, let me just actually.
One with a killer instinct that you can't just.
Now, what's interesting here, too, folks, is they take out the fighting of the movie screen is taken out. That background noise of the fight is taken out, and they put in Bill Conti's music instead. So they add a level of drama to this scene that wasn't in the original cut. Sly adds in Bill Conti's sad score of dramatic effect. So
I think it's a different take as well, because in the original, he doesn't say they care about you when you're bleeding.
No, you're right. There's different takes, and you'll see that in the press conference too. There's actually different angles, different shots as well, like different like cameras being used that Sly, you'll see, especially for the press conference, you'll see.
Italian?
I should have slipped that one.
Yeah, you definitely should have slipped that one. Isn't it something, Stallion? It's crazy how people, man, they just care about you when you're in that ring, and they care about you when you're blinking, but once you step out of that ring, Stallion, it's like ancient history.
Can I ask you something? What? Well, you know, this fight you're having against
the Russian. Should the music cue change?
You think maybe it ain't against him? But you think maybe it's like you against you? What do you think?
I don't think I want to hear this, Stallion.
So there you go.
That actually does make more sense. It takes out the silliness that Apollo was like, well, if it isn't me, you know, if it isn't him, then who is it? Mm-hmm. Like, that part did kind of always rub me a little wrong.
Okay, so you're happy with Sly's choice?
Yeah,
there.
I am.
Okay. Kyle?
Yeah, I like it. I think it moved a bit fast to him standing up like that. Like, I would expect maybe a little more. They don't have the dog to go with, right? Like, they can't go back and change that. So they have to, he has to piece together the dialogue that's already there. So he's prevented from putting in more dialogue. But I still, I like the choice of the music there. Like, I'm partial to that music anyways. And I liked, you could still hear the announcer in the background from the fight. Yeah, it was good. That's a good take. Like, right. I don't mind either of them, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I don't think I want to hear this, Stallion.
Back to the original.
Come on, hey, Paul, look. You were a great fighter, no doubt about that. But look, we got to face the facts, too. You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
And that's easy for you to say you're still on top. What happens when you're not on top, then what?
So again, he's talking about he's not on top anymore. He's not the champ anymore. And this also indicates that Rocky, as we said before, he is still the champion of the world. At this time, he is the belt holder. He is the champion of the world, which isn't really... I mean, it's discussed, it's assumed, but it's just funny how it's just, you know, in the Rocky III montage at the beginning, we see this whole montage of his title offenses. We have no indication of how many fights Rocky has had, if any, since the Clubber line. Are we led to believe? Here's the thing, because well, we talked about...
None, probably.
That's what I was going to get at, because we're led to believe that the events of Rocky III led literally from Rocky getting punched in the eye from Apollo in the ring with the black eye to his driveway, right? So, yes, you would argue only a few months have passed with that timeline, despite the kids aging, all the things we talked about. So I guess we're just led to believe that at this point in time, Rocky has only fought Clubber to regain the title and nobody else to defend the title.
Yeah, you have to think that. Like, there's no evidence he's fought anyone else other than the passage of time. But it seems like in the Rocky universe, you could take a fight whenever you feel like it. Like, there's no mandatory challengers or nothing like that.
Well, they talk about that actually in Rocky Balboa, funny enough. That's brought up, the idea that he has to fight. I think that's brought up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think really long ago, like, you know, in the movie Cinderella Man, James Braddock, when he won the championship, he didn't fight for a few years after that. and was still champion. So I think maybe in the 30s or something like that, it was different. But this is the 80s. Like, he would have had to fight between the. But since they don't tell you, you can't assume that he did. But he doesn't have the eye of the tiger, right?
Source again?
I would assume Rocky would have retired. Because that was the plan, was to retire after the first Clubber fight, assuming he won. He won the second one.
But remember Adrian's discussion at the discussion at the table. It seems like Rocky hasn't retired yet, because even Adrian's saying, what else have you left to prove, both of you? She's still saying it's Rocky. Like, can you retire at some point?
Well, he has not retired because he loses his title later as a result of this.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, he should have. What I'm saying is, like, if you, I'm surprised to see that he hasn't retired. Like, that's what you would expect.
Right.
He just hasn't gotten around to it yet. He's just kind of enjoying the, you know, the little bit of limelight, or maybe not limelight, but just he's having fun. He's like, I'm the champ. I'll give it a little minute. He just hasn't gotten to it yet. Also, he looks, I'm going to objectify Rocky again, but I love this look, this sweater with the chain, and the, with the shot that they show him, like just his shoulders are, it's great. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Doug.
I'm going to comment on the clothes too. Apollo's collar, like, is not.
It's a weird collar. Yeah.
You know what? I'm starting to see those.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's one guy at work that wears those shirts all the time, but I've seen a couple other people at work wear those now.
Okay.
So maybe, because, like, it's becoming more common not to wear a tie now. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first started working, you had, like, it was just, like, people still wore ties, but it was just. It's becoming more common not to wear a tie. And so, like, since you don't have a tie, you don't need the thing coming down to hide your tie going around.
I've never noticed that shirt before. I just
might. Yeah, that's a funny. Good call, Kyle. Good call.
Look at you with the clothes. And I love the light baby blue and pink stripes. And, of course, Paul can pull that off. He can pull off that pink and blue.
Good, that shirt.
Yeah. Well, you have to have a nice body. That's why I can't work. I should just wear a blanket. Okay.
Kyle, do you dress up for work?
I'll have a dress shirt on
for work,
unless it's casual Friday, then I don't, but I don't wear a tie for work in this. Like, I had a board meeting I had to go to on Friday and I wore a tie to that, but, I don't wear a tie just at my desk.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, mostly on, I'm not client facing anymore. Like my old job for over 10 years, I was client facing. So if I had a client meeting, I'd wear a tie. But when I first started that firm, my last firm, I did have to wear a tie every day to work.
Oh,
and then basically right before the pandemic killed that.
Okay.
Like, the pandemic is made office wear a lot less formal than it used to be. But
so, Louise, great questions or points from Louise here. I always assumed, he said, that some nondescript mandatory titles need to take place, that damn near 4-year gap between fights is untenable. So that's the timeline issue. We just don't know how much time is actually taking place between both films. So yes, in the filming of films, it's been 3 years, but in the timeline events, we don't really know. But then the question is, did that fight not take place December 25th in 85 or 84? So that's the question. That's weird, because I think the newspaper might give us a year. So we'll look for a year. We talked to Kyle about how.
I do have my. I did find a paper clipping.
Okay. I think it is 85.
Yeah, so that would we know Mickey died in 82, according to the. So we talked about how you can't dispute the actual text that's in a, like, if the film is telling you this is the date, that's the date. Like, you, that is,
it is, but they're asking us to have it both ways.
Yes, they are. You're right. But you can't have it both ways.
Well, so they are, because this is 1985, but it's also like a couple months after Rocky III. Like,
this film is the worst offender.
It is Rocky actually. It's weird. It oddly is the worst offender.
Because it's internally inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rocky III was internally consistent in that, even though there was a shift forward, the time between events still made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then, sorry, I just read a comment here. Rocky V, like, you have different comments, like, Adrian says in the film, it's been 5 years since Apollo fought, which would indicate it's 1981. But then, like, there's print that says it's 85. There's different, like, It's all over the Rocky IV timeline is all over the map. They have no regard for it. The only movie that offends close to Rocky IV is Rocky V, where Rocky returns from Russia, so you know no time is elapsed, no serious time, and his son is all of a sudden way older.
Same and here.
That moment is there's a time jump in the plane flight. And that, but that is the only offender in the film. That's it. It's just there's a time jump in the plane flight.
Time travel. Well,
there is an actual principle of physics that has been proven called time dilation. And our GPS systems rely on it. Basically, the faster you get to the speed of light, time travels slower for you than it does for people moving at slower speeds.
Right.
So if I were to be traveling at the speed of light and then I can come back and it'd be like a year's elapsed for me, but 30 years is elapsed for you. This time dilation happens at all speeds, but we move so slowly compared to light that it's not noticeable. Even though our GPS systems have to take that into account to be accurate.
But so you're saying there was a time dilation with the flight from Russia.
I'm saying that there is some secret military technology being tested.
Yeah,
and that Rocky in his fight was just a facade for that. Oh. And that Rocky's plane went near the speed of light into space.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back and his son had aged, but he had not aged that much, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
100%.
All right. I like it.
Because we sure as hell can't be born again.
No.
So the question was, where do we go from here? Because we can't be born again. Then Rocky goes, no, I know we can't be born again.
We got to change sometime.
So there's that change comment, the first word of change in Rocky IV. Yeah, that's a great pause.
The best just still say.
Now, I also want to say, I'm going to show this part in the director's cut, in the middle of the show, but this whole dialogue, actually, I'll go up to there. This whole dialogue is not in the director's cut. He takes out the born again part.
Mm-hmm.
So I took out the born again part.
I don't want to change, man. I like who I am.
Does he say then when he's in the ring that he feels born again?
I don't know. I'm doing this one segment at a time. It's too much homework for Ryan to do the whole movie at once.
Come on. Hey, Paolo, look.
This you're is a director's great
fighter, no doubt about that. But look, we got to face the facts, too. You don't want to believe it, but maybe the show is over.
And that's easy for you to say. You're still on top.
Let's face it. We got to change sometime.
I don't want to change, man. I like who I am.
Okay, so they just took out that whole born again part. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it's better.
Okay. Yeah, same. I actually like this a bit better. It's that music that gets me. Like that music in Rocky, that music means something to me, right? From the previous films. And so like it evokes certain emotions and they work with the scene.
Yeah, and
it's just a
more serious tone, like the obviously. But yeah, he takes out anything that's like even remotely silly.
Yeah.
Where do we go, Stallion? Because we sure as hell can't be born again.
No, we can't be born again. But, you know, let's face it. We got to change sometime.
I don't want to change, man. I like who I am.
I like who you are, too. But look at that. You know, you don't want to believe this, but that ain't us up there no more, pal. We can't do that the way we did it before. We're changing. We're like turning into regular people.
Nah, Stallion, maybe you think you're changing, but you can't change what you really are. And you can forget all this money and stuff you got all around you, man, because it don't change a thing. You and me?
Little hint for Rocky V. Oh, man. I wonder if Sly even knew he was going to do something like that when he wrote these dialogues. Sometimes you got to wonder, as an author, did he see the trajectory of his character losing all the money?
I don't think so.
I don't like Apollo's line of reasoning. I've always had issue with this line of reasoning. I like who I am. We can't change. We don't even have a choice. If warriors, you know, he goes down this path of this is who we are. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous, because with that line of thinking, you'd still be boxing at age 90. Like
at some point you have to retire. It is oddly, for someone who is intelligent as Apollo is, he's actually an intelligent man. You know, even though he thinks he's a stinker, not a thinker, he actually is a thinker.
Mm-hmm.
For him to not understand that even the greats, all greats, have to retire. You can't box at 80. So when is it? So if it's not 80, is it 75? If it's not 75, is it 70?
Yeah.
Well, he's at that age now where boxers, that are 45 are going to get manhandled by 25-year-old kids, man. Like, it's just the way it goes usually, that the younger fighter usually, because they have more stamina, more strength, their bones aren't as brittle, they're not as damaged, they don't have any baggage on their muscles. Like, it's, you're young and ready to go.
Time gets everyone.
Yeah, okay, can we do a little bit of a sidetrack here? Have you guys been hearing on social media about this fight that'll be on Netflix?
Of course. I'll be watching it. I'm watching Jake Paul. Yeah.
So, well, Jake Paul's 28. Mike Tyson's 58-ish. Not sure if those ages are.
I think it's 57, right, 27, or something like that. But
yeah. Yeah. So, what do you guys think is going to happen in that fight?
Well, the question is, this was brought up in my Rambo podcast. We brought up briefly where, like, the question was, how much do they let them go? My understanding is that they aren't going to be wearing headgear, so it's no headgear. Is it 5 rounds, 6, 8, 15, 10? Like, I don't know about that as well. So I think it's going to be a situation, I hate to say it, where I wish they gave it the full, is it 10 rounds for professional fights?
12. 12 for heavyweights, 12.
I wish they gave it the 12 round. Like, I wish they'd say, look, you're both heavyweights. You both agree to this. Someone's going to get knocked out, whether it's through fatigue or whatever. But I think to save face for Mike a little bit, I don't think it's going to, I think it's, because it's not a sanctioned, like, this is no title. It's supposed to be an exhibition. I think it's just an exhibition, right? There's no title handover. It's something fun to watch for people. So I think it's going to be maybe 6, no more than 8 rounds, which will mean I think Tyson can last that long. So nobody's really going to get knocked out. So I don't know. It's just going to be a point system, a couple good shots. And I would love to see somebody get knocked out, though, but it won't go long enough for that to happen.
I think fight's set. I don't think they. I think there's understandings in place before that fight happens.
Yeah. Well, think about Rocky Balboa when Mason Lyon Dixon says, "Look, you know, I don't want to embarrass you, you know, but if you come after me, I'm going to have to come back at you."
So it's
that. I think it's exactly what this is. This is kind of reverse. You have, you know, the younger guy saying, look, I don't want to embarrass you. You are 57. You're still Mike Tyson. You're the champion of the world. I don't want to embarrass you. But if you come after me, Mike, I might come after you as a younger fighter. Because he is a strong kid, that kid.
I don't know anything about him.
He's a pseudo boxer. Like, he has had professional fights. A lot of his professional bouts have been against non-boxers. Like MMA guys or something, or older guys. He had a fight against Tommy Fury, who's Tyson Fury's younger brother. And he lost that fight, but it was a split decision, right? Like, he held his own. Like,
It wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah, he's a legitimate boxer. Like, you can't call him a professional boxer. You can't take that from him. But he's not a top-tier fighter. Like, Jake Paul is not going to be champion of the world. He's not that level of boxer, never will be. So, you know, Mike Tyson, of course, was a legendary boxer, but he's old. Like, you can't expect.
Well, that's what I mean. This is literally the script of Rocky Balboa. That's what we're watching live here, folks. Mm-hmm. We're actually seeing the script, meaning, like, of course, Rocky in his prime would destroy Mason Lyon Dixon in his prime, but you can't have that fight. So we can't see Jake Logan versus Tyson in his prime. Of course, Tyson would destroy him. Iron Mike, 20-year-old Iron Mike would destroy him. But this is what you get. You have to get he's almost the same age that Rocky was in Rocky Balboa. It's crazy. It's actually kind of crazy.
And they've showed some training scenes for Tyson. And of course, you don't see you only see 10 seconds or something, right?
But explosive moments.
He could hit.
Does he look in shape?
He's in shape. He is in shape. And he can hit, like, the last
thing. You don't want to get hit by him. You don't want to get hit.
Like, if he hit Jake Paul flush on the chin, he put him down. But I don't think it's going to come to that, personally. Like, I think they're just going to be fucking around for 10 rounds.
What is Tony Burton? P.S. It was just his birthday yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
What does he say? He doesn't have anything, but all you have left is your strength. Like, brute force. What does he say?
Blunt force trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
Cast iron hard something.
Yeah, it's literally Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Okay, well, sorry to...
Tim's got some conspiracy theory stuff here. He says, I read that Tyson has been paid to lose after 3 rounds. He also read that if Tyson knocks out Jake Paul, he gets no money. Oof, that's like Don King stuff here, Tim. I don't know. I need a source. Give me a source.
It wouldn't surprise me if there was stuff like rules. I know, like, here's how it's going to go. This is what...
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's understandings. Yes. No disrespect to Tim. And I don't know if Tim actually believes this. He's just saying this is what he's read.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think Mike Tyson would agree to get beat up and knocked out after three rounds by this guy, unless he's like in a ton of gambling debt we don't know about, right? Like,
because I heard he was getting $20 million for the fight, so I'm confused. Okay, that's what I read. Okay, here we go. One last piece, we'll move on. Luis says Tyson can totally knock him out, but it isn't his interest to do so. Also, as you guys have pointed out, Jake is proficient enough now to be able to fight to look competent throughout the fight. So, yeah, you're right. So, it'll be interesting to watch. At the end of the day, it's going to be interesting to watch to see. And it's on Netflix. It's free. I already have it, so I might as well just watch it. I don't care. It'll be interesting to watch. Okay. Let's move. Which one are we on? Are we on the director's cut or the original? I think this is the original. Okay.
We don't even have a choice. See, we're born with a killer instinct that you can't just turn off and on like some radio. We have to be right in the middle of the action because we're the warriors. And without some challenge, without some damn war to fight, then the warrior may as well be dead, Stallion.
No.
Is that, I know. So, Katie, go ahead, please.
No, I just, like, that's false. Like, so you die at 50?
Yeah, like, this is his emotions, right? Like, it's not very logical. I think this is representative of the struggle people have when they retire from their normal jobs. It's like you're in your work life and you're like, you think about retiring. Oh, I can't wait till I retire. There's all these things I'm going to do when I retire. It's going to be awesome. And some people, granted, do great in retirement, but a lot of people don't. A lot of people, they wake up and they don't know how to handle not having that routine. They don't know how to handle not having a sense of purpose and direction. Like, that's one of the, like, if you read about, like, what you need to do to be happy, one of the elements to that is to have a sense of purpose in your life. And he doesn't have that anymore. He, like, his purpose was to be champion, was to be a fighter. He trained Rocky and got Rocky to beat Clubber. That probably gave him a sense of purpose for a while, but that's over now.
Yeah.
And that opportunity is not going to come along again. So what's he going to do? Like, he does not know how to transition into being a normal person. And he has the false belief that he has a killer instinct that makes him have to be a boxer for the rest of his life. And it's going to obviously get him into trouble.
Good insight, Kyle. Yeah. He hasn't, like, he does need to do something else. Go be a trainer, be, or just volunteer with youth or whatever. Yeah. Like, but instead he, what's not working for him is like piddling around the pool with his dogs. Like he's bored.
Yeah, and I think that's true. Like, I think when you retire, like, your whole life, you have to do something. Like, when you retire, you could do it maybe a bit more in your own terms. But, like, you know, to anyone listening who might be retiring, I've seen it in my own family. I've seen it with people I know that are close to me. Have a purpose. Do not waste the rest of your life watching TV or just screwing around.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for that challenge. Challenge accepted. Accepted.
You can take, like, I think watch TV for 6 months and then do something.
I'm 4.5 years away from my retirement. I'm 4.5
years away. Are you going to be like retired, Ryan? Are you gonna,
there is talk. Funny that you bring that up. I'll bring this up really quickly. Funny, Becky and I, we always talk about the future. That's what couples do, as you know, Kyle. Kate, I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but couples talk about their future. Just joking.
It's not like I don't understand.
Do you understand that people live together? Just so you understand, Katie, people that live together might have a future together. No, I'm just joking. I'm just bugging you. You're doing wonderful. You didn't trust me. You're an amazing.
I quite
woman.
Like it.
Yeah, I know you do, and I trust me. There's days I envy you. Anyways, the point is, we were just actually talking about today on our walk before the show. Like, just, you know, if I retire right at 52, when you know, what do we do? Like, Becky can work more hours at her new job. She can actually, so that would supplement the loss that I would have with the pensions, 50%, but then I would still work. But then, you know, if I work in town, it's less gas money. The car is paid off. There's all these other things. So it's funny. But so challenge accepted is what I'm getting at. What will I do? Oh, of course, I'm probably still going to, I even told Becky, like, I would deliver pizzas just for fun, just to do something. Like, I actually enjoy delivering pizzas or working at a restaurant. Like, just to kind of be involved and see people and do things, like, or do security or something. So I don't mind working. It's not about, so I'm going to work, but I kind of like the idea that I might retire from my job, that, you know, the whole military thing and the, you know, get up at this time, get to work, put on the uniform, blah, 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 you know. So I'm looking forward to a different change, maybe.
Yeah, I work with a guy who's retired from the military. He's in his mid-50s. He was a major.
Yeah.
And he was He was in charge of like communications and media relations.
Okay.
And that's what he does to the place I'm at right now.
Good for him.
I think he's pretty chill. He's always kind of happy because like he's, you know what I mean? Like he accomplished his military career and he gets a pension, but then he gets like income on top of it. So it's a good spot for him. You know?
Yeah, that's my goal is to get a pension. So it's half my pay and I just work somewhere else that supplements the other half and whatever.
You'll just have to expand your podcast empire. You'll have more time.
Yeah, that's what Tim said. I could do another podcast. Yeah.
Only fans.
Right.
And don't say no one wants to see that because there's a lot of people up there and they all have
53-year-old Ryan dad bod. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah, man. There'll be people who want to see that.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine people would actually pay to see me nude?
Oh, you maybe have to do stuff, but yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh. All right. Moving on. Okay. So now the other part that was taken out, we'll just move on because we want to get to the press conference. See, I told you there's no way we're getting to that. Point. Yeah. The part where I don't want to be regular people talk, that was all taken out of the director's cut. That was all chopped out. The whole regular people talk. Okay.
So I'm asking you, as a friend, stand by my side this one last time.
Okay, stand on my side this one last time. Did you know there was a difference in the director's cut?
Yeah.
That line?
All right. So I'm asking you, as a friend, stand in my corner just this one last time.
Did you guys catch the language difference there, Dalek?
Yeah, even how, yes, this is in the corner versus by my side.
Right.
The original makes more sense.
And the way he said as a friend was a different tone.
Mm-hmm.
So they did both takes. That wasn't like AI or anything. Right. That was Carl's. So I'm just finding why, I wonder why one was chosen over the other and then Sly went back on the other. Any guesses why the change from corner? So for our listeners, the original again was stand by my side this one last time. And then the director's cut is stand in the corner with me one last time. But that's weird because he's never been in a Paul's
exactly.
Corner.
That's why the original makes more sense, in my opinion.
I think corner's metaphorical.
Well, then why bother with the metaphor?
Yeah, exactly.
Just say by my side. Because it eliminates all ambiguity. Like, you're by my side. Because the first time you were by my side is when I offered you for me to train you. We worked together side by side. Now, be by my side one last time while you train me.
If I were Rocky, I would say as a joke. I'd be like, okay, but this is over. You owe me a favor.
So Davis says the director's cut feels overly dramatic. I prefer the original. In that moment there, it is a little dramatic. Well, we know the director's cut was designed to be a little bit more dramatic. Now, watch this. This is important. So he says that. Rocky agrees. He just kind of nods his head. Yeah. Then it cuts right to the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the original, we get this little added stuff. Rocky smiles and smirks.
You're a great talker, Apollo.
You're a great talker, Apollo.
All right, please. When this is over.
You know me, Stallion. Always think of something else.
Yeah, like I banged one of the dancers and gave you a spinoff series.
I love this scene. I know. I think I know why he took it out, just because it's lighthearted.
I guess so.
But I love it. This is amazing because it is more like continuity calling back to other movies. And I eat it up. What about you guys? Do you prefer?
See, this is tricky. I don't think some of the changes you guys talked about, you kind of like, you know, talk about the regular people, the brain damage, but I don't know. I think it makes Rocky a little bit less Rocky. I think it makes him kind of like the Rocky II Rocky by keeping it in. I think the original cut is better in this sense in that.
Yeah.
And I like that Paul is still laughing. He's the jovial guy because he's old business, but he's also friends with Rocky and he's happy now because he's like Rocky's come around. So he's like, okay, look, you know me, Stan. I always think of something else. Like maybe we'll go into business together doing something else. That's what he's saying. Like I'm always thinking of something. He's a businessman, right? Anyways.
The favor fight. It's something along those lines. Yeah, agree. I think we're all liking this one better, the original.
I think it's hard to not like the original better for a couple reasons. One is it's what you're used to.
Sure.
But two, the dialogue and the way they're speaking and the tone and stuff, I think is more designed for the way the scene was originally meant. And then it's like you change things and you change the music. And I think if, like, for instance, if you told them in 1985, okay, we're going to have a more serious tone, we're going to use this music, Sly and Carl would have spoke a little differently. right? But you're kind of shoehorning things after the fact, and it's not going to quite feel right. Like something's going to feel off about it.
Okay. Yep.
All right. So now we're going to go into the press conference.
That's what I'm afraid of.
That's right. What I'm afraid
of.
You
got a deal there.
You got a deal there.
I feel sorry for that guy, huh?
So I feel sorry for that guy, you know, says Rocky.
I kind of forgot that was in there.
Yeah, it's funny the things you miss when the captions aren't on. It's almost like a, what do you call it, Mandela effect. But that's the original cut, folks, where Rocky says, I almost feel sorry for that guy, you know?
I find this magazine cover bizarre.
So we see the Ring magazine. Las Vegas is the place for Apollo Creed's gamble. East versus West, Watch and Wonder or something. Red Star versus Old Glory is the title.
Yeah, because I think Old, Katie, correct me if I'm wrong, Old Glory is like a nickname for the U.S. flag, is it not?
Oh yeah, good point.
I don't know. I think
you're right.
I think it is.
But well, but
two
also,
Canadians know this.
But. Yeah, go, I'm like I don't know. But it's Apollo is the former champion, aka Old Glory. But you're saying it's a double meaning.
Entendre.
Yeah, the red star and the flag. That's right. Red star versus flag versus flag.
Yeah.
Good call.
The
that.
Thing is the yeah. Oh, Donald just confirmed.
Thanks.
Hey, welcome, Donald.
Better Americans than me.
I miss Donald. We haven't seen him in the chat in a while. Okay.
Well, what I find weird about this fight cover is the two wives are in it for some reason.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Like, why? What's Marianne Creed doing at the bottom there? Like, Ludmilla, I can kind of see that because she's an athlete too and represents the Soviet Union. But like,
maybe Marianne was a track star in high school. I don't know.
I suppose if they're going to include Ludmilla. They're like, well, I guess we'll show Apollo's wife, too.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. It is kind of funny.
Apollo, what made you decide to put on an exhibition fight with Drago?
Oh, let's call it a sense of responsibility.
Responsibility?
Super hype.
Well, I had to teach this young fellow to box. American style.
Oh, isn't Drago a little inexperienced to be in the same ring?
Yeah.
Well, you know, some folks got to learn the hard way.
Okay. So some folks got to learn the hard way, and there's a hand pat that he gives Drago. Let's go to the director's cut. That hand pat doesn't happen. There's a little bit less touchy-touchy in the director's cut.
I'd like to point out, too, like the overt displays of nationalism. So you have this massive American flag in the back. We got to remind everyone that this is America. We're not in the Soviet Union. We got to make sure everyone knows what side we're on.
And Apollo's in front of the flag.
In the middle of this flag. Is kind of a goofy almost pose. It's not really a fighting shape. He's kind of like has one hand down, one hand up.
I also really like the freeze frame we have here. This is
I'm gonna make this one of the pictures.
Katie, you're one of the thirstiest people I know.
Here's the thing though, you guys. It's this has like ruined me for real men. To be like, this is what I want. I don't want anyone real.
I'm doing the best I can over here. What do you want from me? I'm only human.
You know what I mean? Like, my expectations are this.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, see, my expectations are Adrian.
Yeah.
So I did okay.
My expectations are someone who consents. Like, that's kind of where I'm at right now. Like,
somebody who can that what?
Consent. Basically, I'm saying I would go.
Yes, consent is important. That's true. I agree with consent.
Extremely.
I think it's pretty. Here's the director's cut. Oh, right here.
Let's call it a sense of responsibility.
Responsibility? How?
I had to teach this young fellow to box American style.
Isn't Drago a little inexperienced to be in the same ring?
Well, you know, some folks got to learn the hard way.
See, now we have this shot that's panned out, not panned in. There's no touching. Apollo doesn't touch Drago there.
He just leans in.
I like this better, too, because you see the size difference between Apollo and Drago more easily.
Good point, Kyle.
And now we look at the flag. It looks kind of cheap, doesn't it? This is like a flag with Apollo's whole body's not even on the flag.
His legs are missing.
Yeah, it's a weird. It is strange.
It is kind of weird.
It's almost like a cult. Like, if there was an Apollo Creed cult or something, like, you'd be bowing down to this flag and the statue of him or something. I don't know.
They also show in the audience of this press conference, both Adrian and Marianne are there, but they're not sitting together. Like, And same thing for the fight. I think they're not sitting to like, it's weird.
Maybe Andrew doesn't like those people. Like,
well, you would think that given the friendship, they,
I know it is
that,
weird.
That
there's
the
no
wives would be friends, right?
They're, you know what? It could literally be that situation where they're just not friends. They just maybe have never really talked. They never really gotten together, but it is interesting that we never see that. You're right. That's an odd thing to not include, and it'd be very easy to include, mm-hmm. to have Sly, the director, just say, hey, girls, sorry, ladies, sit next to each other and, you know, rib each other, have fun, smile at each other, say, oh, this is going to be great, or just something, but they don't interact at all. There's not one piece of dialogue between the two of them.
Not even dialogue. They don't even sit next to each other. Yeah. Like, their husbands are really good friends, and they don't even, I find it strange. Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to go back to the original.
No quick knockout prediction.
No. I'm not angry with him. See, I just want to show the whole world
that
Russia doesn't have all the best athletes.
Rocky, how do you think Apollo should fight Drago?
Well, personally, I think the first thing you better get Apollo is a ladder.
Oh, hey, that's calling the kettle black there, Sly. Come on.
Yeah. Well, black, what do you mean by that, Ryan?
Oh, jeez. Oh, boy. Now we're going to go to...
messing with you.
I know. But let's go quickly while it's fresh in our brains. Let's go quickly, because we all know the original. We all know how the original goes. But this is very telling. I thought the differences between the press conferences was worth talking about. So let's go back to the director's cut of the press conference.
Quick knockout prediction.
No. I'm not mad at him. I just want to show the whole world Russia doesn't have all the best at him.
Rocky, aren't you helping to train Apollo?
Well, yeah, I'm going to try if he'll listen.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, listen, Stallion?
It is hard to get a word in edge.
Oh, come on.
So there you go. What do you think of that interplay there?
Awkward. A little awkward.
Yeah. Hard to get a word in edgewise is kind of a little jab.
Sure. Well, Rocky's not afraid to give jabs back to Paul. He called, you know, Paul's always said, you know, if you can't fight, you can cook. I mean, Paul has done some jabs at Rocky.
Oh, yeah.
You are pretty damaged.
No, it's not a big deal. It's just, it shows like the, how they don't take it seriously.
But what's interesting too is they, apparently, again, the novel form, we got this from Donald, I think. In the novel, there was a training sequence. It's in the novel.
Oh, yeah.
But we get to see it talked about, because it's not talked about in the original cut. Do we ever get any real indication that Rocky's truly training Apollo, or he's just there in spirit and support in the corner? Do we get any indication he's the actual trainer?
No indication at all. I never assumed that Rocky did train Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he does.
Like, Apollo, what is Rocky going to teach Apollo? Exactly.
Yeah, like trainer in this case is just like entitled only.
Yeah, like motivation maybe to push himself harder or something like that. But I don't think he's showing Apollo how to box. I don't think Apollo, like, you know, Rocky says in jest if he'll listen, but I think there's some truth to that. Like, do you think Apollo really respects Rocky as a skilled fighter? Probably not.
No, as a friend. He's doing it as a friend. It's emotional support. So, officially, he is telling the press that Rocky's training him. And I just want to say thanks, Louise. Louise says, Ryan, even though we're live, it feels like I'm watching a completely finished product. You've got it running like a well-oiled machine with the excellent juxtaposition to the original, the director's cut. Absolutely phenomenal job. Well, now I'm going to be overthinking that I'm going to screw up the rest of the show. Thanks, Louise.
Louise, buddy, I'm gonna send you that PayPal in a couple of
minutes. Okay, so I do like how Rocky says, oh, you know, it's hard to get a word in edgewise. It's a fun little banter. And now, again, we saw for our listeners when Apollo was saying, you know, how I'm going to fight this guy, I have to show him how to fight, all this stuff. It was still panned out. We could tell that was Carl Weathers giving a different dialogue, because the tone and the inflection, though the same dialogue, was said
way different.
Differently. Yeah, it was a little bit different. Okay, so now we're going to go back to, Louise, you ready? We're going to go back to the original here for a second.
How does it feel to spar with the great former champion? Yeah.
The man's tongue didn't come through customs.
Okay, that's important. Now, that's the original. We all know the original. Great joke. Mm-hmm. That's actually a great dig by Apollo. I think it's a fantastic line written by Sly. Now, let's go check out the director's cut, which is, this is very... Now, Kyle, you'll love this part.
My man.
Okay. There was that little interplay there. We saw that both after Rocky and Apollo had a little bit of fun together, back to the director's cut, They're having a little bit of fun together. Adrian and Marianne look at each other, knowingly laughing, like, oh, look at our husbands having fun with each other. So there was that look, at least, where they looked at each other saying, our husbands are having fun with each other. But like you're saying, Kyle, they're like 10 feet apart. But I don't know why they're not sitting next to each other.
How do you think Apollo should fight Drago?
How? Well, personally, I think you're going to need a very big ladder.
Drago, how does it feel to spar with the great former champion?
There's silence on his part.
The man's tongue didn't come through customs.
You don't think you're going to whip me? And I do.
Okay. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So, okay, before we get to that, so he makes the joke. Tongue doesn't come through customs. There's a look that Adrian gives. It kind of froze there. I apologize for our live audience. But Adrian gives a knowing look of, oof, that's kind of rude to insult this guy like this. You're kind of making him angry. Even Adrian's realizing this is probably not going to go the way Apollo thinks. Look, did you guys catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's something here that was borrowed from real life.
Oh, please.
This was a classic Muhammad Ali move in a press conference. He used to, and he said it to more than one guy, he'd look at him like that. He's like, you don't really think you're going to be able to beat me, do you? Like, Ali was, like, really good at, like, psychologically, like, screwing around with people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this many times. I'm convinced Sly borrowed that and used it for the movie.
Sure. A good call. Yes, good call. Now, we're going to go back to the original again. Bear with me, folks. Go back to the original. See, now Adrian's kind of laughing more. Like, yeah, it's kind of a nervous laugh.
Yeah, uncomfortable.
But the director's cut was a concerned look. This is a nervous look, yeah.
My husband is very happy to have this opportunity. It's his dream.
Dream? How do you mean?
In our country, Apollo Creed is well known and very respected. It could be a good victory.
Whoa.
Oh, answer to one of our trivia questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all got it. Okay. Now... did you catch? Now he's going to ask the question we just heard on the director's cut. Check it out.
Wait a minute. Oh. When?
You don't really think you're going to whip me, do you?
Now, did you notice what Sly cut out on the director's cut? All of Ludmilla's talking was cut out by Sly. I love you, Sly. I love you, but that's an absolute dick move to cut out your ex-wife. That's all he did there. That had nothing to do with tone. That delivery by Bridget Nielsen was well done, well executed, a very valuable part for her to speak for her husband. The fact that he cut that out is a big F you to Bridget. Tell me, Sly, why you cut that out story-wise, why it was better to be out. Any ideas?
Well, I have a question. So there's some really interesting looks that Michael Pataki's character, I forget his name, Sergio or whatever his name is in this, and Ludmilla, like before this, when, you know, like they're giving these like patronizing, like, oh, we'll let you guys kind of have your, and we'll show you, but they give these looks like, cause Michael Pataki's like, goes like this, like they give these looks like they don't know what's going to hit them. And is that, and my question is that in the director's cut? Those looks that they give each other.
I haven't looked that closely, to be honest with you. We'll see if it comes up later. But what do you think about Sly taking out Ludmilla's lines there? Was it an F you to his ex-wife? Like, had they never been married, let's just pretend they just stayed friends. Would that part been cut out? Then my question is, why, Sly? Why do you think that's better storytelling to take out that part? Because I think it's amazing in the original cut to have that speech by
her whole... I have to think it's because it's his ex-wife and they must still have bad blood because... Yes. Her entire role is massively minimized in the director's cut.
It is. It's a big F you to her, which I think is... This is why I have a problem with the director's cut, because I feel like Sly, despite his professionalism, maybe as he sees it, he's using way too much emotion in this. I'm taking out the robot because it was from my handicapped son, and I'm taking out Ludmilla because it's my ex-wife. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I feel like he hacked up Rocky IV a little bit. He should have literally just inserted... the deleted scenes, maybe take out some things that are a little bit cheesy, like, you know, the comics to keep your fertility. Fine, take out that. Like,
agreed.
Taking out Ludmilla really ruins the director's cut. It does. I'm sorry, because she's such an integral part of the original cut. I don't think it helps the movie at all by taking it out.
Agreed.
Okay. Let's go back to... Okay, we'll play this for a little bit longer here. So we're going to keep watching the original here after Paul asked the question, do you think you're going to whip me?
Well, we didn't come here to lose.
Well, you hold on, little lady. You hold on. Because lose and lose royally, he's going to do.
Okay. Now he's asked the same question, the director's cut. Check out this response, Kyle. You're going to love this because I can't believe this part was taken out of the original. I kind of wish they kept the Mills part in and then they kept this part in from the director's cut into the original. Check it out. Drago drinks some glass. So Drago sips some water from a glass. Very like, Now check it out.
It's true, water. But also it's this tiny... Is it supposed to show us again his monstrosity? Because the glass, look how tiny the glass. Small glass. Looks.
No, you're right. You could be right because it looks tiny in his hands. But I think it's just to show, like, let me just take a sip of water here. He's composed. He's collecting his thoughts.
I do not come here to lose.
Oh. It's the first words he said.
Yes. I did not come here to lose.
I find that very interesting for a couple of reasons. One, that's the best Russian accent he's done.
Ooh.
Compared to the other lines he gives in his accent. I think he did really good there. Also, his voice doesn't match him there. His voice is very soft. Like you expect someone... hulking and large and intimidating like that to kind of sound like this, like I do not come here to lose or something, but he's like, I do not come here to lose.
That's a good point, because it's not that meek voice in any other lines he delivers.
No, it's very different. Yeah. It's very different because he's like, you will lose, like the computer sounding, and then he's like, I must break you. Sounds very different, but he sounds almost very meek here. Like he's saying, I'm not coming here to lose.
I think he's also just doing it very calmly. I think it's supposed to be calm. I think he's just saying, I didn't come here to lose, buddy. But he doesn't even say it in that way. Just, I didn't come here to lose. A very almost matter-of-fact calm. Mm-hmm. But that's why Rocky and Tony look at each other like, oh, geez, this guy is business. Like, they're already kind of afraid of him just because of the monstrosity that he is. And they look at each other like, they're not messing around. This is... not just an exhibition match. They're looking at each other right now like, oof. So we'll play it just a little bit longer here.
Apollo's making the same mistake that he made in the first film.
Right.
Like, remember when he's talking business with Jurgens and Tony's like, you better come see this boy you're fighting on TV.
It's like,
It's... People they don't change in a lot of ways.
No, they don't change. There wasn't really that many years between both fights, if you think about it.
I did not come here to lose. Oh.
So no quick knockout prediction. Excuse me.
You are not very realistic, are you, Mr. Creed?
Where did you come from? What are you talking about?
You can box, yes, but you are far too old to think that you can win over Drago.
Oh, is that a fact?
And it could be a painful one.
So thankfully they kept that in. We'll stop it after this, but I'm glad they kept that in. This is the director's cut, just for our listeners. We're still listening to the director's cut here.
Doesn't put the original
that heavy
have...
bag with eyeballs in the ring with me, and you're going to see the meaning of pain.
Why do you insult us?
There's the one line that, for some reason, Sly let that line keep in from LaMille, because I think he almost had to. So now let's cut over back to the original, then you'll see, Kate, that it was kept in there,
How can you be so sure?
Well, I've been with the best, and I beat the best. I've retired more men than Social Security.
So, of course, that was taken out with the director's cut, that whole joke there, and... Because LaMilla asked the question, so Sly had to take it out because it didn't make sense. Like, what's Apollo talking about?
Excuse me.
And then he comes in with this.
Not very realistic, are you, Mr. Creed?
Where did you come from? What are you talking about?
You can box, yes, but you are far too old to think that you can win over Drago.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yes, and it could be a painful one.
You put that heavy bag with eyeballs in the ring with me, and you're going to see the meaning of pain.
Why do you insult us?
Kate?
Well, I thought I was right. Yes. So he takes out the word, the exclamation of yes in the director's cut, which I don't know why.
That's a great. I don't like that at all. I like the way he says yes there.
Agreed.
That's a bad move to take that out.
Yeah. Great point. Good.
But there's a lot of looks like breaking it down like this, just tons of looks between people. And now I kind of can't remember what's the original and what's the director's because we're cutting back and forth, but it's great.
I think this shows a cultural difference too between like Russians and Americans and the whole sports scene there, because it's like, how do I say this? Okay. At one point, boxing press conferences were pretty civil. And then Muhammad Ali actually is probably credited for shit talking in the press conference. And it's been like that ever since. I don't think they understand that that's like what you're kind of expected to do at press conferences is make jokes, make fun of people, and talk about how the other guy's crap and
hype like, it up.
They don't get that. Like they just and they're like, why do you insult us? Like they're offended at this, right? But yeah.
It's
just
great comments in our on our live chat. I just want to say again, if you're listening to this and you want to join our live chat and add to the podcast discussion that you're hearing in your ears right now, folks, just join our Discord that's in the show notes, and you'll get the announcement when we go live. You can join us. You'll be able to watch and add your input because we definitely love our chats. Louis says, I prefer the calmer tone that Drago gives. To me, it's even more intimidating and matter-of-fact. That line should have been the original. Yeah, we agree. And David says, in the original, like you're saying, Katie, the Russian coach answers, is that a fact with the yes? And it could be a painful one. They cut out the yes in the director's cut. It is weird.
Oh, yeah.
So it is weird. So thanks, David. So
it's also grammatically wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's like, and it could be a painful one. And what? Like, what's the and for?
Well, I'll talk to Sly. Bring it up to Sly. When we get him on the show, we'll ask him. Okay, now we're going to stay with the original. Follow me, folks. We're going to stay with the original. We'll see where it changes. Okay.
Now, you just hold on here. Don't make me out to be the bad guy. I came here to talk about a friendly exhibition bout till Comrade Big Mouth started
up. Right. You who are the aggressor.
I don't want to guess, man.
To say to the press, in all fairness, Drago should not even fight this man.
Oh, come on.
Because he is a has-been. Hey,
you get that big chump in the ring right now.
Okay.
Wait, I thought it was Heavy Bag with Eyeballs.
What are you talking about?
Originally, he said that earlier.
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. So which? What?
I'm getting confused. Never mind.
Am I losing you? No, no. Apollo calls Drago in both cuts a heavy bag with eyeballs. So what are you referring to here, though?
Well, I guess I'm just now.
No, he just assaults him again. That's all. Yeah. You get that chump in the ring. Yeah. So he calls him heavy bag with eyeballs in both
earlier.
Cuts.
Okay.
And now he's sorry. Have we lost all of our listeners? Are people confused? I apologize. I am trying to say one word. Now we're going to go to the director's cut. This is important because you'll see the big change here. Actually, what happens here?
Can I make a comment? Yeah, about
please.
This first, if I'm being objective, the Soviets are correct.
Uh huh.
They're correct. Like the Apollo Creed is being a dick, and granted, that's what you're supposed to do at press conferences. We'll give him a little bit of a slide here. When Apollo Creed says, "Don't make me out to be the bad guy. I just came here for a friendly exhibition until Comrade Big Mouth came here." That guy didn't even say shit other than like he doesn't think he's being very realistic, which is like. It is shit talking, but it's no worse than what Apollo was saying before. And like, Apollo is the one insulting them. He was the one being a jerk to them. And then he was making them out to be the bad guys because they get offended. Like, I think honestly, like, Apollo doesn't deserve to get killed, clearly, but like, he's way out of line.
Okay, fair enough. I think it's fair. I think it's an objective. Yeah, you're right. We love Apollo, but. Okay, so let's go to the director's cut. This is very interesting here, actually. I like the director's cut better for the press conference. I think it's a better cut, other than the LaMille. So, yeah. So keeping LaMille's lines, with the added lines from the director's cut and the more ominous tone of the director's cut, I do like a little bit better. Especially this part here, we're going to get some extra footage here of something that should have stayed in my opinion.
Don't make me out to be the bad guy. I came here to talk about a friendly exhibition bout till Comrade Big Mouth started.
Right.
Is you.
See that? Rocky and Adrian look at each other and Adrian shaking her head like, oh boy, this is not going well at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very great moment there. Again, that should have been the original because it ups the ante a little bit. Like, you're getting scared here as an audience member. You're like, what is going on here? This is not going well at all for Apollo. Like, he's losing touch. He's not handling the press conference the way he used to anymore. And now, of course, this goes on here.
Who are the aggressors? I wish to say to the press, in all fairness, Drago should not even fight this man. Because the truth is, he is a has-been. To defeat him is an accomplishment not worthy of Drago.
See that? To defeat him is an accomplishment not worthy of Drago. He's a has-been. That's why now they're going to bring up Rocky again, which I love here. They came here to fight the champion, not the has-been.
But to fight the real champion. This means something.
Hey, you get that.
this guy knows how to like just put the knife in and twist it. Like he has Apollo's number. Like he knows what to say. That's gotta like piss Apollo off big time.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and you'll notice he was laying back earlier in the press conference. Like, he was letting Apollo say his shit. And
yeah, then, he was patronizing him before.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now, because this guy is a professional PR guy, right? Like, he's probably one of the best in the country. That's why he was picked to go out here. And, yeah, I think Apollo Creed is kind of picking a fight he doesn't realize he can't win here in the press conference.
But what do you think of it? Yeah, so I guess that it's more insulting almost. It's, you can almost argue it's trying to divide the two in some way and make Apollo feel jealous of Rocky's
championship. It reminds me of this scene from Mad Men when this guy is in an elevator with Don Draper, played by John Hamm.
Yep.
And he's actually the guy in the elevator. He plays he's the main character on Superstore. Jonah, I think the character's name was Jonah. But anyways, he's a lower level guy at the firm, and he's having a problem with Don, and he says something like, "You know what? I feel sorry for you." And Don Draper just smugly says before the elevator opens, he's like, "I don't think about you at all."
Yes. Yeah, I love that scene. I love that show, by the way. Mad Men. If you haven't seen it, folks,
it's great.
It's an evergreen show because it takes place in the past, so you can watch it at any point. It's a great show. Yeah, fantastic show. Sometimes actors or actresses, of course, have a role that's made, like, they don't know that it's going to be made for them. John Hamm as Don Draper, that's his Rocky Balboa, and says that's his big role. Like, that was made for him. Taylor made for his,
Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Then we'll see it with the director's cut. We'll see how this ends, and then we'll end it with the original. We'll talk about the differences.
Up in the ring right now. All right. I said what I feel. I'll finish this in the ring. You understand?
We're going to finish this
in the ring. Look, you just shut up. We're going to finish this in the ring. You understand me? I'm talking to you. And you two and all these puppets you got with you.
Whatever you like.
How did I do?
A little off for my taste.
Wait. Good.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Okay. A little bit different from the original. Do we have to show the original right now? Before you? Okay, let's go back to the original.
All right. I said what I feel. I'll finish this in the ring. You understand?
We're going to
finish this. Look, you just shut up. And all these puppets that you brought with you, you hear after it. You hear
after it. How did I do? A little loud for my taste, but good. Oh, yeah, very good.
Okay.
I love pretty much.
I hate this scene right at the end where Drago rips down the
cardboard. Like that?
No, it's so I liked it as a kid, but I find it cheesy now.
Okay.
Well, it's right with the ominous music, like
that music kicking
on the nose, right? Like
that Ryan, music kicking in. I love it. Yeah.
When
please.
You wear your, so you're a military man, yes?
Yes, I'm in the.
Did you once before you did you get some ladies wearing the uniform?
Well, I've always been married in the military.
Okay.
So I've been married twice in the military. I love marriage so much that I've done it twice, I always say. I joined when I was 27 and I was married then. Divorced 5 years into my service, and then I've been with Becky for the last 14 years. But I guess there was a time, I guess there was about a year and a half I was a single man in uniform. Oh, sorry.
Where I was going was like the Drago in his like dress uniform.
Okay.
I mean, it is kind of known like that does it for the ladies.
Well, I don't know. It's hard to say. I know women do like men in uniform. I have had compliments. If you're wearing your dress uniform, people are like,
yeah,
you look sharp. It is cool. You do, you know, you can look a little sharper in your uniform for sure. It's like a guy that looks nicer in a suit. I think then the uniform, a dress uniform, as they say, the ceremonial uniforms for guys make them look even better. We got some good commentary here before we go to our trivia answers. Davis says he prefers the original version of the scene. We're talking about Drago speaking. He basically doesn't like that Drago spoke at all. He likes that it keeps him more ominous and like machine-like or non-human.
Oh, I can see that.
Okay. But Louise says, overall, the director's cut press conference is far superior, except for LaMilla. So he agrees with me, I think with all of us, that had they kept the original, sorry, the director's cut version that we see now, with LaMille's lines kept in, I think, it's more ominous. It's more scary. I think it feels more with the looks, those subtle looks, Adrian looking really like, oh, crap, this is not going well type looks. What do you guys think overall about the conference change, directors versus original? What do you guys think before we close here? Keep, throwaway? What
should I would like here? A combination. I do like, there's some famous quotes, and it is probably a little nostalgia, but some of Apollo's more lighthearted jokes and stuff. I think that can be in there and it can still be ominous with the looks and stuff. Like, so it goes, I think, back it should to the be a combination.
Yeah. I agree. This is why I wish Sly, I wish he just added more. I wish he didn't he took too much out. He added things in because the director's cut is still longer than the original cut, which shows you how much he kind of added into the film that was taken out of the film. I wish we had the extended cut. I think that's what we're saying. I think I wish we got the extended cut, because you'll see when we get to the exhibition fight, and Kyle will appreciate this, Apollo puts up a better fight. I think what we'll do for that one, to make it, because it will take too long, I think that might be worth just reviewing the whole fight, the Drago versus Apollo fight. I think we should just review the director's cut version of it, but I'd recommend that we watch the original before you do, before we talk. That way we don't go back, it'll take way too long, because the extended fight and that fight, again, it's just worth talking about, because I'd like to hear Kyle's thoughts on that fight in particular, because it's a better fight, I think. So we try something new here. I can't do this for every scene, the back and forth necessary, because there are that many changes between the directors and the original. But I thought the press conference in particular was quite different. So I thought it would be worth talking about. We'll take it scene by scene. Maybe we'll do it more, but it worked out okay. Yeah, thanks everyone who joined us. Thanks for those who joined us live. We appreciate it. Here's the answers, folks, for the trivia. So the answer, of course, what does Rocky's face look like? Katie?
Catcher's mitt.
Yep. Kyle? Oh, is this right? I didn't get this. How many weeks away are we from the anniversary?
I said 9. Is it 9?
I said 3.
And I said 6. According to Rocco, I might have to go back and watch. I thought I don't trust Rocco. It's not that. But I'm having a bit of Mandela effect here. He said 1 week.
No.
A week away.
Did she say, the anniversary is a week away?
We need to go look at this.
No, I think our anniversary is a week away. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I would have said, I think there was a little bit of a purposefully trick question, because it says how many weeks.
Sure. Well, and that's so fine.
Therefore, I was like, must be multiple.
Do you want to do a quick check?
I'll do it after. I'll do it after the show.
I'm pretty
for now,
sure.
For now, we're wrong. We're all wrong.
Yeah, we're wrong.
We're all wrong. Okay. Okay. So, Nick, give me one nickname, Kyle.
I thought this is, no. Oh, because you forgot the question. Okay. Death from Above was one.
Yeah, that was the one the announcers gave. So I put that one down too. So afterwards, of course, after Paul's death.
Dude, that's the third bonus one.
Oh, that's the third one?
Yeah, that's the third one.
Well, yeah, the Siberian Bull was what the announcer said.
It's the Siberian Bull.
Express.
And the Siberian Express. And then later, it's Death from Above.
Yeah.
Okay, I only wrote down Siberian Express and the Death from Above. I forgot about the Siberian Bull.
I have a feeling that Rocco, we'll see. I think it's both of the Siberian ones.
Oh, Louise is coming in. It's 1 week, 100%. Okay, yeah. It's 1 week.
I don't know. I got 9.
All right.
Oh, well.
Lastly, what was that? What was that question number 9? What was the...
We did overanalyze it, Louise.
Of course we did. A Good Victory was the next one.
Oh, yeah. Who said it? We all know it was LaMilla. Sorry, I'm just looking at the answers. That's right. And then, of course, what was the game being played?
Chess.
Yeah.
What was the answer for the nicknames?
The hero. He only wrote Siberian Express on his. That was the one answer.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So we all got 4, yeah?
Yeah, we all got 4 out of 5. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone who watched us live and who are, of course, watching us on YouTube or watching us on your podcast app of choice. Please leave us a review. You guys are terrible. Please leave us a review or a rating on our podcast. We really appreciate it. We need it. I think that's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Join my Patreon. Give me a couple bucks to help with my editing. I'm actually, my StreamYard renewal, it's actually happened in 2 days, guys. It's not cheap. You can Google what the yearly cost is. It ain't cheap. So if you join Patreon, it does help pay for those costs. But if you don't, that's fine. The show will go on. Don't worry, you leeches. I'll keep
going. Don't say that.
Oh, same. Okay.
You better pay or else the podcast is over.
That's right. If you don't pay, the podcast is over.
We're canceled. We got canceled.
Right. That's right. Well, Katie's canceled. We got to find a new co-host. Mm-hmm. But this episode is over.
I didn't hear no bell. I just want to say one.